Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. On this morning, the WNYC News is confirming that Governor Spitzer will resign. The new governor will be David Paterson, Spitzer's lieutenant governor. Paterson was a state legislator from Harlem since 1985. He had risen to Senate minority leader before being tapped for lieutenant governor. Paterson will be the first African-American governor and first legally blind governor in New York State, only the third African-American governor in U.S. history since Reconstruction, I believe. Paterson is known as very knowledgeable about policy, very liberal yet conciliatory, very understanding of points of view that disagree with his, very quick-witted and fast on his feet, very accessible to the press. He has come on this program many times, for example, and very well-liked by people on both sides of the aisle. Some people are asking today whether he is tough enough to be the chief executive. Here is a clip of David Paterson on this show, March 5th of last year, just after becoming lieutenant governor, talking about how he does his work being legally blind and not a Braille reader and the historic significance of that.
I'm legally blind. I have optic atrophy. I have effectively no vision in the left eye, and my vision is a little over 20 over 400 in the right eye. So mostly people read to me, and I have a voicemail with extended time, so documents can be read for me. One of the big problems that I always had, even when I came on your show, Brian, is that I wouldn't get a chance to read the morning newspapers. And what my staff does now is they take turns, they go through the clips, they try to digest them a little bit so they're not reading all the articles. And I've got about 10 or 12 messages I listen in the morning to get them. And I think that this higher profile struggle of an individual who's disabled to conduct business at their work will be an incentive to 29% of to the 71% of blind people who are unemployed, the 90% of deaf people who are unemployed, and the over 50% of people with ambulatory disabilities who don't have jobs. And I'm hoping that if in any way it does, or shows employers that with a few more adjustments, you can really make a difference. I hate for the cure for cancer to be in the brain of some little girl who's blind somewhere in Westchester that will grow up, get a college education, and can't find a job.
So you see yourself not only as a role model for employers to look at and say, I can hire sight-impaired people, but also, I presume, for sight-impaired young people who want to aim high.
Absolutely, and I think that one of the saddest things is that people who are disabled have a higher educational achievement on average than the national average, but probably have 40% of the jobs that their peers who don't have a physical disability have when they come out of school.
You're not a Braille reader, I guess.
No, because I have some vision. They had large print. I mean, it's like 24 and 36 fonts sometimes, but I was able to read that way when I was younger. At this point, after about 5 or 10 minutes of reading, I've become kind of exhausted, so I pretty much rely on CDs and tapes and people sitting across from me in an office reading to me.
Real quick.
And also, you get the benefit of the reader's commentary while they're reading to you as well.
Benefit or detriment.
That's right.
Lieutenant Governor and Governor-to-be David Paterson on this program on March 5th of last year. Let's talk about Governor-to-be Paterson now with WNYC Political Director Andrea Bernstein, Village Voice columnist Wayne Barrett, and Eleanor Tatum, publisher and editor-in-chief of the Amsterdam News. Welcome back to all of you. And let's do some biography first. Eleanor, David Paterson is the son of Basil Paterson, a political pioneer in his own right. For those unfamiliar with him, who is Basil Paterson?
Basil Paterson was the first New York Secretary of State of color. He is also an attorney and really an icon in the black community for what he's been able to accomplish and his hard work for decades serving communities of color.
Wayne, I presume you covered Basil Paterson over the years?
I have, yeah. And, you know, this is a remarkable family. Basil Patterson, if any son is a reflection of his father, they have such a similar personal quality about them. They're both extremely gentle but extremely serious people who want to get something done and who figure that the best way to get something done is to get the people you have to work with to like you. They are engaging people. They are people who, I spoke to David Patterson, I would say it was a few months ago, and he told me that he had an accident in his state car, and his state car took a long time to get repaired, and Joe Bruno, the majority leader, this is while he was in the Senate, Joe Bruno lent him his car. That's how well they got along. And so he's a guy who manages, when he's the minority leader of the Senate, to get along that well with the majority leader. Now, that has its pluses. It also has its minuses. I think we're going to need to see, in a state that dramatically needs the kind of reform that Eliot Spitzer promised and to a degree was moving to deliver, we're going to have to see a tougher, harder side of him, where he can make some things happen in Albany that desperately need to happen.
So, Andrea
Burns, but he's going to do it in a very different way than Eliot Spitzer tried to do it.
WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, talk about a 180. The questions we're asking as David Patterson takes office compared to when Eliot Spitzer took office. Unbelievable.
Right. I think that's right. I also just wanted to say that, I've covered David Patterson for a very long time, since he was just a freshman state senator from Harlem. And in covering him, I've certainly never found his eyesight an issue. The only thing is that when you go up and ask him a question, you have to identify yourself because he can't see you. So you just have to tell him who you are. But other than that, I've seen sort of no adjustment in his functioning in any way. I think that he is genuinely, genuinely well-liked. And it's so interesting because, Pataki was well-liked, too. He was a state senator. And Spitzer was sort of running in as the anti-Pataki, the one who wasn't going to be sort of going along to get along, but was going to shake up the ways of Albany. After 14 months, people have become exhausted with that. Now people are looking to David Patterson to be the one who can mend fences. Now, it is very interesting because there's some very difficult decisions facing New York. There's a budget that's due at the end of this month. There are all kinds of decisions that need to be made about education funding, the allocation of funding around the state and to New York City, about Medicaid and hospital funding. And these are not going to be easy decisions. There's also the Bruno has a one-vote majority now in the state Senate, and Democrats are not going to be giving up the fight to turn it around, especially. I mean, this is something that David Patterson worked on a lot when he was the minority leader.
Right.
So that is going to be coloring the relationships. They may be good friends, but Bruno doesn't want to lose his power either.
In fact, as I understand it, Patterson was somewhat reluctant to take the lieutenant governor's job and had to be asked several times, because as minority leader, he was working on the politics of winning a Democratic majority for the state Senate in the next election and was very committed to that. So now I guess in a way he'll be doing both things. Eleanor Tatum, is there a way to know what Governor Patterson's priorities as chief executive of the state might be compared to Eliot Spitzer's?
Well, I mean, one of the things that he has been working very hard on and has put some really great people in charge of is working with minority and women-owned businesses. So I think there is going to be an emphasis on making sure that people of all races and women especially get the projects that they should be getting around the state. And I think that will help drive the economics in all parts of the state, especially in the upstate areas where the economy is really, really in bad shape. One of the things that you see with Patterson is his ability to work across the aisle and his ability to be conciliatory. But at the same time, as Wayne said, he does need to be strong, and I think we will see that. He is able to speak in such a way that people really do listen. And the other thing is he's able to listen so well because of his sight or his lack of sight. You know, I worked with him. The first time I worked with him, I was just a kid. I was working on David Dinkins' campaign for Roe President in 1984. And I was working with David, and I would read out 10 messages to him. And he would remember every single telephone number, every single message, and be able to call every single person back from memory. So his memory is uncanny, and his ability to just recall things, you know, even years later, someone's telephone number is amazing. So I think his sight is not going to be an issue at all, but I do think he's going to drive the minority women-owned business issue and just the economic engine in New York State. I really hope and I think he'll be able to do something about it.
On your experience with how he worked around his limited vision, the job of governor is a very heavy reading kind of job. So do you think his routine will have to change? Will he have to hire a team of readers? He talked in that clip about how he didn't have the time that morning to get through the morning papers before he came on the show. Maybe he won't be incapacitated from doing the job. Obviously, he's going to do the job. But in terms of the accommodations that might be needed, any thought on what those might be?
Well, I mean, the fact is he's been in public office for, you know, over 20 years now, and he has not had it be an issue. It may mean he has to wake up a bit earlier and stay up a bit later to get through all of it, but he has the people in place to be able to accommodate his needs. And I don't think that's even something we should even consider as a possible problem because, you know, when he's driving in a car, someone can be telling him what's going on. And the other thing is that I think in some ways he is able to take in so much more through words than a lot of us may even be able to see with our own eyes.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're looking forward to the almost certain David Paterson administration. As we have confirmed today that Governor Spitzer will resign, we are expecting an official announcement later this morning. Wayne Barrett from the Village Voice. Governor Paterson will immediately have to deal with the issue of congestion pricing that the legislature must approve by the end of this month or risk losing $350 billion in federal funds. Is he a proponent of congestion pricing?
You know, I don't think we have any idea whether or not he is. Brian, I want to say that I think the last thing we need is an on-time budget. You know, I know we've had this has been a great reform people have fought for, but we went with
budgets
for 20-some years.
Right,
if there's ever a point in time when we ought to get a late budget, it's this year. Let David Paterson have his imprint because the budget is really, it's the blueprint of a government. And this is now going to be David Paterson's government, and he needs some time. You cannot produce a budget by March 31st. And the new governor really have the kind of impact on it that he should have.
Well, that's a pretty interesting question. And for people who don't know the timeline, the New York State budget is supposed to be passed by the legislature and signed by the governor by April 1st every year. It was late for about 20 years in a row. I think it's been on time, maybe two out of the last 3 years, something like that, which was considered a great achievement. I know Mayor Bloomberg doesn't like a late budget because the city's budget is due at the end of June and they need to know what the state has allocated for the city before they know what they have to do. So, Andrea Bernstein, this raises a very interesting question.
But, Brian, we've had budgets approved in July
exactly.
In recent years, and we figure out ways around it if there's ever
right.
A legitimate time. And I say, by the way, the deadline for congestion pricing is just as phony as this. It's not real. I've never thought it was real.
But that's
we've been getting all kinds of information about the Bloomberg administration about a prior deadline
yeah.
that didn't turn out to be a deadline.
That's true, but this is a federal deadline. This is not one that can be negotiated between the governor and the mayor.
I think we can figure a way around it, especially in these circumstances.
So, Andrea Bernstein, does Governor David Paterson now start from square one? The budget, and with all these controversial things that the three of you have mentioned in it, from congestion pricing to hospital funding to all kinds of things, does Governor David Paterson now start from square one, look at the budget that Elliot Spitzer introduced, because Spitzer, the governor in New York State, you know, proposes the budget and then the legislature modifies it, does he now go back to square one and introduce his own budget?
I don't think that he does. I don't think that he starts from scratch. I mean, I think it's a very interesting question about whether the Paterson administration will really change course. My guess is, knowing David Paterson, that he obviously has some issues which are priorities to him, but that he's not going to throw out the entire Spitzer government. I mean, after all, whatever people may think of Elliot Spitzer now, he was elected for 4 years. And I think there's going to be some feeling on the part of the Paterson team that they can't radically depart from the Spitzer vision. I mean, having said that, well, you know, some of the state budget choices are discretionary. There's an awful lot of the budget in which even the governor has little say. And, of course, we're still in a period of negotiations, of back and forth. So there was a budget that was introduced, and there's nothing to prevent David Paterson, in the course of negotiations, of making some modifications to his liking. One also has to presume that he wasn't entirely iced out of the budget-making process himself. And, I mean, this will be all through the Spitzer administration. I mean, there were things that were Spitzer priorities. For example, environmentalism, government reform. It's hard for me to believe that Paterson would abandon those things. I mean, interestingly, in sort of, you know, kind of the progressive community of progressive Democrats, Paterson is seen more as one of them. He's seen as much more to the left than Elliot Spitzer.
Elliot Spitzer is now scheduled to announce his resignation at 11:30 this morning, according to the Associated Press. The Associated Press quoting a top Spitzer staffer, so that time hasn't been officially announced, but the AP saying that Governor Spitzer will announce his resignation at 11:30 this morning, according to a top Spitzer staffer. We will, of course, carry that live when it happens. And we're going to go to Albany in a minute and talk to a Republican and a Democrat from the state legislature. Eleanor Tatum from the Amsterdam News, a last word from you on what Andrea was just saying. If Governor Paterson is more from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party than Governor Spitzer was, what might this mean for policy, in your opinion?
Well, what I see is that I think the voices of, number one, the underserved are going to be heard a lot more, and that we could look for a more inclusive government in which Paterson is really going to be listening to all the people of New York State. And, you know, I feel that Spitzer, and I must tell you, the Amsterdam News did not endorse Spitzer in the primary because we did not feel that he had the best interests of our community at heart. When he brought Paterson onto the ticket as the lieutenant governor and in the general election, we did endorse him because we thought that David would be able to bring some stability and sanity to the office of the governor.
And this just over the transom, a official press release from the State of New York Executive Chamber. Governor Spitzer is in New York City. His schedule says 11:30 a.m. delivers brief statement in the Executive Chamber press room, 633 Third Avenue. That's where his offices are in New York. Of course, do not go there. You will not be allowed in. Only accredited press will be allowed to go. But he will be making his announcement at the Third Avenue offices.
So WNYC's Arun Venugopal staking out the governor's home on Fifth Avenue. If you're hearing this, get on the train and head to his office. All right. Village Voice columnist Wayne Barrett, Eleanor Tatum, publisher and editor-in-chief of the Amsterdam News. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we will go live to Albany in just a minute and talk to a Democrat and a Republican from the state legislature, Brian Lehrer on WNYC.